speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's a song that our young people often will sing at Vacation Bible School. I would presume it's also sung in some of the smaller Bible classes as these teachers try to impart some great Bible lessons to children on their level. Another song that is sung, and it is one which I think many of us can remember as a child, is when the song leader would say, "Stick up your little light, this little light of mine." Every little child knows the song, "This Little Light of Mine." It was written by a man by the name of Harry Dixon Lowes, who lived from 1895 to 1965, somewhere around 1920. Several verses have been added by various people, but the most recognizable version of it is this, and I want you to listen as I read the lyrics of this song. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan woof or poof it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan poof it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan poof it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine." The song contains some very important themes that Christians need to ponder. There's some great lessons within this little song, and as we conclude the lesson this morning, I'm going to try to point out to you how valuable it is for us to listen to some of the children's songs and the great themes that we can draw from it. But this morning, I'd like for us to do three things. Number one, I'd like for us to consider the text that Caleb read to us just a few moments ago, Matthew 5:14-16. Then I'd like for us to look at the tune, what is said in that song, the lyrics that are found in it. And then number three, the teaching that is found within both of these ideas that you and I can make some application to ourselves. Let's begin by looking at the text, and if you will, open your Bibles to Matthew 5. You may want to write a note or two in the margins of your Bible. And I'm going to put it on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you, but we do have a few Bibles. And I encourage you to study along as we look at these three verses here. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's break this down for just a minute. You are the light of the world. Whenever I read a passage and the Lord says you, I always have to ask the question, who are the you? Was He referring to all men? Was He referring to a specific group of people? Did He have somebody specifically in mind? And in this case, the Lord is obviously talking to His disciples, because not everybody is keyed upon the light. In fact, as I go through the Bible, I look at some passages like Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. "For you were once darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You would parallel this to passages like Colossians 1 and verse 13, that we have been translated out of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. You and I once lived a life of darkness. We once lived a life of sin. But now as Christians, as followers of the Lord, as His disciples, we're supposed to be people of the light. When Paul wrote the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, he said that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You see, as you and I become the kind of Christians that we ought to be, our lights shine and they give off light. One of the interesting parts of studying the Bible and reading this is how people view themselves. One of the things that Christians need to be told is, you are the light of the world. On the other hand, when Paul writes the Romans, he points out the view of the Jews that they possessed of themselves was that they were the light of the world. When Paul describes that in Romans 2:19, he says, that you are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. I can understand why the Jews thought that. They had the knowledge of God. They knew they served the one true God of the universe. They understood that they had God's Word, the very oracles of God, as Paul would point out to them. But you know, to be a light of the world, you have to show light. You have to reflect light. So we look and he says, you are the light of the world. To say that one is the light of the world means that we are a lesser part of the light, but we're not the source. I try to think about the best way to express this so that we fully can understand it. And the best way I thought of it was of the children's song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are. The stars that I see, I wonder what they are. As I look up into the sky at night, and the Bible speaks of the stars, and you think about what they are a lesser form of light. We look up in the sky during the day. This morning you saw that big orange ball in the sky, the sun. You will look up at night and you'll see the moon and you'll see the stars. And listen as Paul speaks of them in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. You see, I look up and I see the brightness of the sun. The second bright thing that I see in the sky is the moon. It reflects the majority of the light we have at night. But then you see the stars, and even of the stars, many of them are brighter than others. You are the light of the world. The sun is the source of our physical light. The moon is a reflection of it. But even of that, some are brighter than the others. You are the light of the world. Either I am reflecting the light as I ought, or I may be dim. I may be dim. But the truth is that Jesus is the true light. And the best that you and I can do is to reflect Him fully in our lives. John 1:9, John writes, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Everybody, if they want light, have to go to the proper source, and that is of Jesus Christ. John 9:5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm here, I am the light that men will see. Jesus is now back with the Father. And you and I are to reflect Him in our lives. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. This is a simple statement of fact. You can't hide a city that is sitting on a hill. Cities were built on hills for both protection and safety. If an enemy was going to be approaching and you were on a hill, you could see the enemies coming from any direction. You go to all the ancient cities and you will find them built on the high places. You also have to understand that cities cannot be hidden because the lights will be visible from a distance. I always find it amazing every time that I come off of Harrison Ferry Mountain and I drive toward McMinnville, I look and I see those lights and I think, boy, McMinnville is a big city. Those lights reflect all it. You imagine if you're walking along and all of a sudden you see on a hill, everybody has lights. And those lights illuminate and you see that city that's set on a hill, it can't be hidden. But he's going to say also, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Now, when we hold up our little fingers, we tend to think of candles. That's really the wrong figure. I brought with me something that was given to me last time I went to Bethlehem. This is about an 1,800-year-old oil lamp. It's made out of clay. They would fill it with oil and then they would have a wick coming out the small end here. And you know the Bible talks about those virgins with their lamps, talks about the oil and trimming them. You trim the wick and you would present the light. Now these little lamps would be placed at various places in the home, and that's the kind of way that they would illuminate their houses. You need to think of that as the lamp. He says, no man, he says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bushel. The word basket or bushel refers to a container. It could be a woven basket, but more than likely in the biblical times, it would have been an earthen jar of about 2 gallons. And they would take, rather than simply extinguishing their light, they would put a cover over it if they needed to cover the light for a period of time. But his point is, men don't put a light and cover it up. That defeats the purpose of it. That's illogical. What they do, they place it on a lampstand. And if they wanted a significant amount of light, you know, if you look overhead, you see these lights overhead. There are 10 of them. The purpose for having 10 of them is to provide sufficient light in this room. If you look in biblical times, the Bible talks about a lampstand. The Jews today call it a menorah. And on the top of each one of those was a little thing that you would place 7, 8, 10, ever how many of the lampstand arms would come out. That's the way they would illuminate a place. Men don't take a lamp and they don't put it under a basket or a bushel or a covering, but they put it on a lampstand. Why? Because just like a city cannot be hidden, you don't want to hide light, you want it to shine. That's the purpose of it. So here is what Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What is light for us? Jesus identifies it when he says that they may see your good works. You see, as you and I reflect the light, it's in what we do. It's how we treat people, what we say to people. Seen by men is not self-glorification. I don't do it so people will look at me and say, oh, look how good he is. It's for God glorification. Jesus will later on in this great sermon that he's preaching identify people who give alms because they want to be seen of men. He will identify others who pray long prayers because they want people to hear their many words. But Jesus says, you do these things so that they will glorify the Father in heaven. This is really what being a child of God is all about, is the acts that we perform. In 1 Peter 2:12 we read, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is he saying? The world looks at us and they want to criticize us. Because our works are good, light, their works are evil, darkness, and darkness hates the light, they're going to speak against us as evildoers. But Peter said, by inspiration, that they observe your good works and they glorify God in the day of visitation. Perhaps the clearest passage in my mind is found in Titus chapter 3. Verse 8, he said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. I want you to understand that if you're going to preach the message of God, you've got to remind Christians they need to do good works. That's the way God intended it. That is His plan. You drop down to verse 14 and he says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. This is what we learn to do. This is how we reflect our faith and our confidence in God. That's looking at the text. Now just for a minute or two, what about the tune itself? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I often think about this little light of mine. While my light may be little, I've still got to let it shine. I may not be able by myself to be a great impact or an influence. But if you take my little light and your little light, and everyone else's little light, and you put them together, do you know what you have? You have a great light. I dare say that if this lamp here were lit today, many of you may not even be able to see the flame and the light that would come from it. If we were to turn out all the lights in this auditorium, I dare say that you probably would say, that doesn't give me enough light to be able to see how to get out of the room safely. But if you were to take 300 of these and you were to put them on a lampstand and elevate them to high in the room, do you know what would happen? There would be more than sufficient light for us to see where to go and what to do. This little light of mine, I am going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. No hiding of the light. Some people have tried in their lifetimes to say, I don't want other people to see my light. In fact, I read about Joseph of Arimathea in John chapter 19, verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, he didn't want people to see who he was, and he didn't want other people to know he was a follower of Jesus. I'm thankful that Joseph appeared to take a stand at this point. In Luke 9:26, Jesus said, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. We have to be the kind of people who stand up and say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. The third part, don't let Satan blow it out. One of the saddest things in the world is people who become children of God and their light is lit. And they began to let it shine. But then the devil is able to come and through his means of trickery, through his means of deceit, is able to take away that light. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14, "For no wonder, for Satan himself fashions himself or transforms himself into an angel of light." Satan wants you to believe he's got a light too, but he is actually the prince of darkness. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, that lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Don't let Satan blow it out. Let your light shine all around the neighborhood. I'm going to let it shine. You know, the idea is that the shining of the light is to bring glory to God, and so we're going to let it shine. We're going to be evangelistic. If there's anything the Lord's church has lost in this generation, is a burning desire to save the souls of men. We've got to live in such a way that we influence the lives of people for the Lord. This is going to bring me to the third part. This is really a summary of tying it all together. Many of us try to minimize our influence. We try to say, I don't have that much influence over people. Who am I? I'm not a great leader of our city or of our county. I may not even be the most talented person in my family. I may just be an ordinary person. Who am I? What kind of influence can I have? Let me remind you, Romans 14, verse 7 says, "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself." I attend a number of funerals, preach a few of them. One of the things I have come to realize is people have a lot greater influence than they think they do. Their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, their nephews, their cousins, their brothers, their sisters. And they have a great impact on our lives. They influence us as to who we are. You women, the influence that you exert upon your children is so dramatic that you are shaping them to be the person that they will be. And you may have a whole lot more influence on your family than you realize. You can take that little boy or that little girl and you can shape them into being a great person. Everyone has a choice as to what kind of influence they want to have. People can look at us and say, they're the old grouch. They're the sourpuss. They're the negative person in the world. They're the ones who don't see any good. Or they can look at us and say, that's the person that is trying to live their Christianity out in their lives. As an illustration, just consider the impact that a spouse can have. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 16, "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife?" And then in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Here is a wife. She can have great influence on her husband by the way she lives. Our influence is much greater than we realize sometimes. Mamas and daddies, So what you are teaching your children by the people you help, the things you do, the words you say, communicates to them what kind of person they will be. One of the greatest evangelistic tools in life is our spiritual lives. When preparing for this, I kept thinking of the poem, The Gospel According to You. Doing some research, I found out that there's about 14 different versions of this poem. And just like the song, This Little Light of Mine, there's a version of it that is probably the most popular. And I want you to listen to this poem. If none but you in the world today had tried to live in the Christ-like way, could the rest of the world look close at you and find the path that is straight and true? If none but you in the world so wide had found Christ for His daily guide, would the things you do and the things you say lead others to live in His blessed way? Men read and admire the gospel of Christ with its love so unfailing and true. But what do they say and what do they think of the gospel according to you? 'Tis a wonderful story, that gospel of love, as it shines in the Christ life divine, and oh, that its truth might be told again in the story of your life and mine. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds you do and the words you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Ah, friends of the Christ in world today, are many who watch you upon your way and look to the things you say and do to measure the Christian standard true. You are writing each day a letter to men. Take care that the writing is true. 'Tis the only gospel that some men will read, that gospel according to you. That poem fully expresses what I've been trying to say. And that is, people look at us. People evaluate us by the light that we shine. Sometimes the most profound thoughts comes from the mouths of children. I just love kids. They're so honest. They'll tell you, you got a big wart on your nose. You look funny. They'll tell you exactly the way things are. And when you find that honesty and that humility that's a part of children, you can't help but appreciate it. When our Lord was making His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, there were children crying out, Hosanna, and there were people standing by, and they said to Him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Listen to the voice of some of these little children as they sing those great songs of faith. The thrust of our lives should be to give glory and honor to God, and we do this by how we live. To be, again, serving God, one must first become one of His children. Would you take your songbook out? This morning, we are privileged to be here together, to be privileged to hear the words of God, not our words, but God's words.